You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
So since that statement was made on our show, on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, physical therapists, trainers have called and backed you up on that. Now, Pat Costello, Javonte Lawrence, who asked his coach in high school to play Wildcat QB, which we're going to get to in a second because I want Javonte to tell the story, and Nuno, we have all given CC some crap about this.
I feel like I deserve an apology.
Yeah, do we feel like we need to back off and acknowledge that CeCe's such an interesting person. He actually gets turned off when we tell him how tough and smart he is. It actually bothers him. So we gave him a level of credit for toughness.
Because it feels patronizing because I don't think I'm that tough.
Right, well, we've learned that you maybe not. So we gave him a level of credit here for that insane level of toughness that now the world is saying we're wrong and he's right. So how do we feel about this, guys? Do we have to retract our compliment of toughness? Okay.
No, I think we can keep it. I would like my leg to be intact. Thank you.
My leg is intact.
Barely.
There's nothing wrong with my leg.
This feels like, you know how the players this week, it was released, NFL players, the team report cards for 2024, and they talked about training staff and things of that nature. Yeah. I feel like the Virginia training staff might have gotten an F if, like, you did this based upon that you got a guy player without a fibula.
Oh, my gosh.
Or an A, because maybe a fibula is not that needed.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I don't know. It's the medicine back in the early 2000s might not have been the best.
Yeah, none.
We were popping Vioxx anti-inflammatory.
Wow. That's not good.
Exactly.
That liver of yours, I hope you get it tested every year. Just make sure it's still functioning.
Dr. Nuno.
Well, if my liver's not functioning, I don't know if it's because of that.
I think that was part of the reason you didn't realize that your fibula was broken.
Wait a minute. What an accusation.
Because I had other things wrong with me?
No, he's saying you were hammered during the games. That's what he just said.
Wow.
Just saying.
Not during the game. Maybe after. Around after it.
After.
Oh, yeah. Shortly thereafter. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Boy. Now, there's a story from Javonte. That we
win or lose, rain or shine, we will go get it in.
We have to figure this out here. So Javonte played high school football in Michigan. All right, you played what position?
I played cornerback.
Cornerback.
Did you play Javonte, or were you just in uniform on the team?
I mean, it was some days I was, and some days I wasn't.
Okay, so you were not.
I wasn't I wasn't a Chris Canty out there, you know. But
it was dependent on the game plan in the matchup.
Tell the people how tall you are. I am 5'5".
He's very fast though. He's on the track team, right?
Yes, I was. I was way better track athlete than I was in football.
All right, and you did what to your high school football coach exactly?
Well, at the time we wasn't great, so that's part of why, you know, I was out there. But we were doing basically a walkthrough. So I'm standing next to the coach, and I'm sitting there. And I'm like, you know, we should run a Wildcat. He's like, with who? I'm like, me. What do you mean? He's like, nah, we're not doing that.
So you're in essence a backup cornerback. Ask the coach to run the Wildcat with him as the quarterback.
Yeah, but did you hear the team wasn't good?
We had nothing to lose. It was like the end of the season. We were like 0-4 and whatever. So I'm like, why not just do something different? Throw me out there.
But that's the wild part. What do we got to lose? The coach never gave it a second thought when you asked him. You're like, no, we're not doing that. And kept it pushing.
But that's pretty gutsy to go up to your high school football coach as a backup cornerback and ask to change the offense into the Wildcat with you as the Wildcat. That's pretty gutsy.
Well, it's almost as gutsy as asking your coach to leave you in the game after you throw 5 interceptions already. It's almost as gutsy
I never asked my coach
you
to
never
leave
asked, he
and
just
it was
let you
8,
in.
By the way.
Just,
well,
I'm just saying, but you still stayed in the game,
you know,
after
there,
5.
There's an interesting narrative. As I get older, my high school football jersey behind me, that's a real one, by the way, for those watching on ESPNU. As I get older, the narrative around this horrific game at NIAC,
tough place to play.
Has evolved. then more people have decided to blame the coach than me.
Yeah.
Which I'm interested in this.
What do you mean? I mean, if the coach allows somebody to have that many mistakes in a game, then that's on the coach. That's not on the player.
Would have never happened on Javonte's team.
No, well, absolutely. That's true. Absolutely.
Would have ran the Wildcat.
I could not run the Wildcat. I was not on the track.
No, you would have been on the bench.
That's the thing, though.
Well, that's true.
They would have had the running back at quarterback.
The coach wouldn't let a track guy who to his own credit, said he was a pretty good track athlete.
Yeah, he said he was very
fast. He would not let him run the Wildcat on a team that sucked.
What would you get the 40-yard dash in? Did you ever run the 40, Javonte?
I have never run a 40.
No, but he's a track guy, so you ran a 60 indoor, right? And you ran 100 meters? No? Yes?
No, I mean, I ran the 400 a few times.
What did you do?
Oh, so you
exactly?
Were a distance guy.
Were you on the team? Yes, I was. I ran the 400, I ran the 800, I ran the 1600.
Yeah, he's
actually, I got medals,
guy.
I got proof.
He's a distance guy.
What did you run a mile in high school?
A mile, the fastest I ran a mile was 5.5. 5 minutes,
he's
30
a,
that's
seconds.
Really
he's
good.
He's
a distance guy. He's not really.
I still would have been better off running a Wildcat.
Break your leg and run a mile.
When people say they're a track guy, you know, it's the 60 on the indoor, it's 100 meters, it's the 200 meters. You know, those are the events, right? Those are the
no, what?
When people say they're track people?
Yes, have you seen the Olympics?
Sprinters.
Like, what is going on?
Well, that is an interesting thing. When you hear that someone did track and field.
When I hear somebody say track time, I instantly go to, what was your 100-meter time?
So you immediately go to their speed and not the distance running?
No.
It's like I played in the NFL. What was your 40 time?
What are you talking about? What did you say?
It's saying I played in the NFL. What's your 40 time? It's like, well, I'm a center.
No, that's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. Because I know what
people ask me what my 40 time was.
No.
Every time this year.
CeCe, you're right about this. So when you hear... I guarantee you 99% of the audience will agree with CeCe on this. We can open it up at 888-SAY-ESPN. When you hear somebody ran track and field, you immediately think they're fast and short distance.
Yes.
You do not think.
It's 100 meters, 200 meters.
Yeah.
It's the 60 on the indoor. Nobody thinks, oh, what did you run the 400 in?
I agree.
What did you run the
800
in?
When's the last time you guys ran a mile? He did it in 5.5 minutes. That's insane.
I do it every day.
Evan does it every day.
In 5.5 minutes?
The last time I ran a mile
in 5.5 minutes?
Pat, I'll answer that question for you. Last time I ran a mile is when somebody paid me to run.
Exactly.
The best part of that was...
And it wasn't in 5.5 minutes. Although maybe you had a broken leg.
Canty and Javonte, who have a little rivalry, right? Canty was giving Javonte credit for like, oh, he's
an athlete. Completely changed out of nowhere.
Right? And then all of you realized it was distance, and you just shot that down.
Yeah, he's not a track guy.
He's not a track guy.
Yeah, it's not.
Now I know what the head coach of Javonte's football team knew.
Yeah, like you're actually not fast.
That's the 400 is a boy.
That we're not going to be better off running a Wildcat with
that's
you.
That's true.
That's what the coach knew. That was the piece of
I mean, I wasn't saying the coach was wrong, but like we had nothing to lose. Like,
see,
with more
like,
games.
That's a critical piece of information that frames the entire conversation, right?
Right.
Kind of like when Pat left out Dollar Dog Night with the Phillies fans.
That they got in trouble?
That they got in trouble. Like the reason why the organization took it away is not because they were being cheap. It's just because fans didn't have no act right.
Bit of a food fight.
In this situation, like, it's not the coach didn't run the Wildcat with Javonte because Javonte, you know, he had a grudge against him. He ran it because Javonte wasn't fast.
That's right.
Javonte is very fast.
Quick,
tell him not fast.
Pat, that's not the point. The point is when
he just said he's not fast. That's the point he's making.
But he's fast for a mile. The point you're not running a mile, running the Wildcats.
The 400 is one lap around the track. That's a full sprint.
But he's not running the Wildcat. When you hear, I agree with CeCe on this. When you hear, like, first of all, we all go to the place, regardless of who you are in life. If you can tell high school sports stories that you had any ounce of success, you tell them. And when you're sitting around with friends and you didn't know somebody ran track and field in high school, you immediately think they're fast and short distance. You do not think they're fast and long distance. Javonte is telling us he's fast and long distance.
You have to be fast either way.
But that's no but
the,
you're
the
not.
The 400 is not long. It's one lap. That's a full sprint the whole time.
No, but CeCe is saying that the coach knew in a short distance, like 5 to 10 yards, Javonte ain't that fast.
When somebody says track person, track guy, track
fast
gal,
and short
you're
distance.
You're thinking 100 meter, 200 meter.
I'm thinking 40.
Apparently, a 400 is technically considered a sprint. Our buddy Andre.
That's what we were saying.
Andre Snellens, he said, I ran a 110 high hurdles. Sprinters always win, so.
I am now reporting that Andre Snellings knows everything about everything. Is there anything that Andre Snellings does not know about, I've realized? Ron in Florida, listening on 99.1 in Florida. What's up, Ron?
Hey, yeah, guys. Great, great conversation, but I gotta differ a little bit. The 400-meter guy on the track team is one of the best athletes on the team because they have to sprint and they have the endurance to go longer. So when I was in high school, I was a baseball player, but I was the fastest guy on my team. I was faster than a 100-meter guy. The only guy that could beat me in a race was our 400-meter guy. So don't diss the 400-meter guy. They are awesome. Awesome sprint athlete.
We're not
distant, but nobody thinks about you guys when we start talking about
exactly.
You
guys are getting slow.
Nobody
right
thinks about you. We don't think about it. When you say fastest man in the world, we don't go to the guy that ran the fastest 400. We go to the guy that ran the fastest 100 meters.
That's right.
Period.
That's right.
Like when we say track guy, when we're breaking down football players at the combine running 40, we're thinking about, oh, this guy is a really big sprinter for short distances.
Right.
100-meter, 200-meter, that's what we think about.
That's right.
Period.
I agree with you.
That's not even a hot take.
No.
You guys are being ridiculous.
Absolutely right.
You're being ridiculous. You're saying Javonte's slow because he ran the 400.
No, it's perception.
No, I'm saying he's slow because he didn't run the 100 and 200. I'm saying he's slow because he didn't run 100 and the 200.
So comparison to the 100 and 200, you're saying I'm slow. That's what you're saying.
No, I'm saying if you were fast, then in addition to running the 400 in high school, you would have ran the 100 and 200, but you didn't. That's what I'm saying.
Justin in North Carolina, listening on 101.7. What's up, Justin?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, guys. So I think I can help everyone out. I was a football guy and a track guy. Canty, you're 100% right on this. Calling yourself a track guy when you're running the 800, 1600, you're not a track guy. I love you, but you're not.
Yeah, we're going to have to cut him off.
Oh my God, Javonte. Wow.
Appreciate you
so
calling
us, Justin.
We
dropped that call.
Call back anytime, Justin.
Wow.
Call back anytime. We appreciate it.
Wow. That's,
this is ridiculous. I'm so glad we're getting this sorted ahead of the Olympics.
The same
summer.
People yeah. that gotta, run the 100 sure. and 200 run the 400.
Here we go, man. Here we go. Here we go.
Here's the point that I would make on this. If you hear somebody like, oh, you played high school football, you immediately think that there's an ounce of toughness. As like much of a wimp as I am, there has to be somewhere in your mind of like, at some point, maybe he was tough. He played high school football, yeah. right? When you hear, it's perception. This is not about the reality of it. It's about the perception. When you say you're a track guy, we assume you're lightning fast in short distance.
Yeah.
No. Based on that analogy, you're saying if someone says they played high school football, you assume they played quarterback. That's what you're saying. Everyone who plays says, oh, I played high school football. Oh, would you play quarterback? That's what you're saying about Javonte. Oh, you ran track. Oh, you ran the 100?
Well, no, not exactly what I'm saying.
That's exactly what you're saying.
Well, by the way, there may be a perception because why would you brag about playing high school football if you played any other position but quarterback? I'm just saying.
What?
Hi, how are you? Wow. Mike in Mississippi listening on 92.9. What's up, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah, talk about being fast and everything in track. You don't assume that if they're Canty size.
Javonte is 5'5". We set it up by that. He's 5'5". He's very thin. He says that he was a great athlete, and he asked to run the Wildcat offense. He got denied by his coach. We initially laughed at it, and CeCe got to the bottom of it. It ain't because they didn't want to run the offense. They didn't want to run the offense with Javonte.
I don't know, man. It just sounds ridiculous to say he's a track guy, but he didn't run the 100 or the 200.
He didn't throw the javelin. Like, what are you talking about?
What is happening right now?
He wasn't a kicker in football.
I did the high jump in high school. I guess I'm a track guy. What are you
yeah,
talking
you are.
About?
That's track and field.
But I'm not a track guy.
It doesn't matter
not.
What people think is popular.
You're the field. You're a field.
You're a field guy.
You're a field.
You're a field guy.
Not track.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
People are heated here over the track guy comments. CC and I are of the belief if you say you're a track guy, it means that you're really fast and short distance.
Yes. If you're a track guy, you run the 100 or the 200 in addition to any other events. Like, people are bringing up the fact that Michael Johnson, former Olympian, ran the 400. Yeah, but he also ran the 200 and set a world record when he did it in the Olympics. Like, that's a track guy. Okay, cool. You're fast. If you can set a world record in the 200, you're a really fast guy. Okay? But don't sit here and tell me that I'm fast. Yeah, I'm fast. I ran the 400 in high school, but you didn't run the 100 or 200. Like, it's hard to find good track people in high school. So if you run the 400 and you're really good at it and you're fast, they would probably give you a shot at running the 1 and the 2.
So, Canty, our friend Andre keeps texting me. He's like, my little cousin got shined for beating Ted Ginn in the 400s at State. He played DB.
I call BS. Beating Ted Ginn Jr.?
Yes, that's what he said. He beat Ted Ginn for 400 at State.
Beat Ted Ginn Sr.? Yeah. Ted Ginn,
I don't even know about that.
Ted Ginn Jr.? No.
If you're beating Ted Ginn Jr., you're the fastest person on earth,
basically. No shot.
Jay in Minnesota listening on Sirius XM 80.
Hey, I got to agree with Canty on this one. I was a track guy in high school, and I was also a fullback in football. However, no way was I the fastest dude on the team. I was a high jumper. I ran the 100, but I didn't run the 100, if you know what I'm saying.
I got you.
So, yeah, when you say track guy, head goes immediate to speed.
Short distance. Speed, short distance. Listen, we knew, Jay, and thanks for the call, you were not a fast guy when you said you played fullback.
There you go.
I mean, you weren't a tailback. You played fullback.
You were going to finish first in the 100.
That's right. Jeff in Tampa listening on TuneIn. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, you guys remember Ronaldo Nehemiah?
He's
an Olympic sprinter.
Yes, the name sounds very
familiar.
He played
for San Francisco for a certain amount of time.
Yeah. I do remember.
But then he was in the slot and then hit an out route, but the corner didn't leave. And it was like he was erased from history because it laid into him so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't remember it. Yeah, I don't remember it. It was in the 80s, I think.
What's the overall point, though?
Oh, he was fast, but he got laid into.
He was fast. Thanks.
Hey, Jeff. You remember Willie Gault? Remember Willie Gault, wide receiver, Bears, Raiders? You know what he was? Really fast. Really fast. Corey in Dallas listening on the ESPN app.
Hey, he's exactly right, because there's one thing that's always been said: just because you run track and you're fast, that doesn't make you a football player.
Yeah, but Javonte wasn't a track guy or a football guy. That's what we just established.
Oh boy,
like he was
that
on
is
the
insane
team.
Hate. That is crazy hate. What is happening right here? Chris Canty is hating that bad. Wow. It's insane. Wow. This is ridiculous.
The coaches of the track team and the football team were friends of the Lawrence family.
Oh my god!
It sounded like they were friends of the family. They were doing the family a solid by letting Javonte be on the team and get a letter.
Oh my god!
That's what it sounds like.
Javonte, which one were you better
at? I mean, I'll take that about football. Football, I was terrible. Like, I'm not saying I was a great football person,
but track
person, track, yeah. I mean, I ran track.
Okay, what was your were your personal best on the track or in the 400? Because you're saying the 400 was your event. What was your personal best in the 400? Because I need to know whether or not it was a good time.
Right,
it was about probably 50 seconds average.
50 seconds,
is that good?
I don't know.
We don't even know.
I don't know.
We need somebody who can tell us.
I don't know.
Corey in Dallas on the ESPN app. What's up, Corey? Oh, I just talked to Corey. My bad. Dan in Philly listening on 97.3 on track and field, of course, the obvious topic. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Dan?
Hey, I just have a quick comment, Evan, on your comment about high school football players. Nowadays, you just show up and you get a uniform. So if you say you played high school football anymore, it doesn't really mean a lot.
Yeah, I guess the word, I don't know. I mean, in terms of the phone call, I still look at people if they played high school sports, and especially if you got to a college level, I have such insane respect for you. But you do make up those perceptions, those assumptions about, oh, you did this, you must be that, which we know is not necessarily fair. But we do believe, at least the two of us sitting here, Cece and I, that if you say you're a track guy, it means you're fast and short distance. It doesn't mean it's correct, but that is the perception of it. That you don't necessarily say you're the track guy if you're not fast in short distance.
Completely agree.
The world record currently for the 400 is 43 seconds.
By Javonte Lawrence.
Right.
By the way, this is the 400-meter dash, which is a sprint event in the track and field competitions. Just reading that from Wikipedia.
And I did get confirmation that Andre Snellen's little cousin did beat Ten Ginn Jr. in the 400s in states in high school.
Do you realize that Nuno's job has just become reading Andre Snellen's text messages? That's what Nuno's job has become today. Quickly, before we move on to some football stuff, Javonte, what comment did I hurt you the most? Because, I mean, you have been catching a lot of strays.
Neither. I'm fine. You guys are haters. I accept it. Like, you guys want to hate? That's fine. That's what I make you Friday.
Being a track guy is unwavered. He's a
track guy. I mean, like, I'm here as a board up, so you know.
Unbelievable.
I never said I was Usain Bolt or anything. So you know, like,
Usain Bolt ain't got nothing on you.
Wow. I never said those words. Huh?
Canty, you feel comfortable going to Detroit for the a draft out here, taking our shots at boys?
I'm good at Detroit.
Javonte's got people.
Javonte got people.
The people in Detroit know you ain't no track guy if you bragging about being in the 400.
Wow, Javonte.
What? What? The number one thing we've learned is that if you guys get attacked by a bear, don't be hanging out with Javonte because they'll pass you.
All right, we are on Sports We Like here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We know the Bears have the most pressure on them in the draft coming up to find their quarterback. This offseason, who's second? If you were to power rank the second most pressure on a team to find or figure out their quarterback situation, it's what team?
Second most pressure, I got to go with the Washington Commanders. Just because of the circumstances, right? You've got a new owner. He allowed status quo to be the case in his first year. They stayed with Ron Rivera. They went with Sam Howell, gave him an opportunity. But now you've turned the page on your head coach. You hired Dan Quinn, which was not a hire that invoked a lot of excitement in the fan base. So you absolutely have to nail the quarterback position, especially in a quarterback-rich draft with the second overall pick. Because this guy is going to be the face of your football program. Not just what you do on the field, but in terms of this guy being an ambassador in the community and one of the faces of that city.
So we've put on this list of teams that need to figure out who their quarterback is / figure out their quarterback situation. Washington, New England, Pittsburgh, Vegas, Denver, Atlanta, Dallas, Miami. Of those teams, and you if you had to eliminate one of them, saying, nah, you know what, I'm not putting any pressure on them this offseason. Which team gets eliminated? Let me read them again. Washington, New England, Pittsburgh, Vegas, Denver, Atlanta, Dallas, Miami. The one team that you would say, nah, take them off that list. I don't care if they don't figure it out this offseason.
New England.
Why?
I mean, listen, Bill Belichick had a 24-year run as the head coach. That's a quarter century. Like, I mean, you're going to have to give the new head coach and this new regime time to figure it out. Elliott Wolf, they've got a long runway with this thing, especially knowing that owner Robert Kraft is not impetuous in terms of his overall decision-making. He's going to empower those guys to do everything that they see fit in order to put this team in position to have sustained success, and that might not happen in year one. I don't think it's going to be a microwave in terms of the on-the-field success for the Patriots. This is going to be a multi-year rebuild, and there's no pressure on them to figure out the quarterback spot this year.
Our man about town in Indy is Q Myers, host of ESPN Radio Game Night. He's in Indy for the Combine. We are going to check in with Q. He had a controversial moment yesterday. I have to address this with him. I don't even know if you saw this, CeCe. He pulled a move yesterday that is stunning. We'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Draft combine going on in Indy. We learned that Javonte would not have a good 40 time today.
No. Confirmed, Javonte, not a track guy, even though he ran a 400.
Oh, boy. Our man about town there is Q Myers. Now, Q Myers hosts game night with Emmett Golden, 10 p.m. Eastern time here on ESPN Radio. And he told us, Q did yesterday, that the shrimp cocktail, which is famous in Indy at this place, St. Elmo's,
yep,
has a really spicy cocktail sauce, and that he was planning on going there last night, but they actually bring free samples around the combine for media. So Q put it out there on his own Twitter yesterday that he had the free sample. Except, CeCe, he did two things that are honestly mind-boggling with shrimp cocktail.
What's
number
that?
One, he ate shrimp cocktail with a fork. And number two, he ate the tail.
Okay, I'm okay with the former, not so much with the latter.
Q Myers, would you like to explain? We have the video on ESPNU right now. You ate it with a fork and ate the tail. Please explain yourself, Q.
There was no tail. It just looked like there was a tail on it. There was no tail. But I did eat it with a fork because it was lathered in the horseradish. And the thing about it is, I went into this and I wanted to attack it. I knew that I lost. It defeated me last year, so I was going to win. I actually seeked them out. I said, hey, you come over here. Let me get this shrimp so I can make up for my failures a year ago. So I was prepared. I was ready. So I took that shrimp. I ate the whole thing, as you can see on the video. And I was good through the first wave. My failures this year was I didn't realize there was a boomerang effect. So the first wave, I was good. I didn't realize it was going to wrap back around and hit me in the back of the head like I had just got a fresh fade and someone licked their finger and slapped the back of my neck. So
wow.
There you go. It got me again. 2-0, St. Elmo's 2, Q0.
Speaking of fresh fade, I'm seeing you on ESPNU. Fresh fade for the combine, by the way. You are camera ready, my friend. But you talked about that first wave with the shrimp cocktail. We got the first wave of on-field player drills with the D linemen. How'd the big boys look? Who stood out to you yesterday?
Byron Murphy is just my guy. Byron Murphy is the guy that I'm fixated in, I'm locked in on, and I just think that he can really do no wrong. He is a guy that is blowing it away here from his interview process at the podium to what he did on the field, and he's going to be an early day one pick. He's going to be called early, and I think whatever team he goes to, he is going to make them a monster in that interior of the defensive line. He was really the one that stood out to me the very most.
We're talking with Q Myers, who can't handle spicy shrimp and spicy cocktail sauce. You hear him 10 p.m. Eastern game night here on ESPN Radio. Caleb Williams medicals. We've seen reports about this. What do you know about what he's sharing, what he's not sharing, Q?
Yeah, he just talked to us at the podium, and he was surrounded by 1,000 people. I mean, he was the guy. You could tell Caleb Williams was at the podium, but he said, hey, I'm going to give my medicals to the teams I go visit. Every team can't pick me up. Every team can't draft me. There's only one of me, so I'll give the medicals to the teams that I go visit. So when he goes and visits Chicago, boom, they'll get the medicals. He goes to Washington, they'll get the medicals. Goes to New England, they'll get the medicals. Outside of that, he's not sharing his medicals, and he's very confident about it. He said that that's all I really need to do.
So, well, let's focus on the guys, the quarterbacks that we are going to see on the field over the weekend. J.J. McCarthy, he said that he's going to throw, although he's probably not going to run the 40 because of a tight hamstring. Bo Nix is also going to be one of the performers. Spencer Rattler out there as well. I mean, based on what you're hearing at the combine, which is the guy that's creating the most buzz and anticipation ahead of their workout on the field this weekend?
Really, it's Spencer Rattler. It really is. Wow. And that wasn't the guy that I was – focus in on the most. I was focused in on Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix. But everyone I've talked to, everyone that is just kind of walking by having those conversations about quarterbacks, it's all about Spencer Rattler, Spencer Rattler, Spencer Rattler. I saw him on Radio Row before Super Bowl 58. I just saw him a few minutes ago getting ready to sit down and do a little bit of media of himself. He is a guy that is creating a lot of buzz. And, you know, a lot of teams or a lot of different people are talking about the fact that he had to deal with adversity. He went to Oklahoma, got beat out by the guy who's going to go number one overall in Caleb Williams, and went to South Carolina, and a lot of people kind of forgot about what he could do, and all of a sudden he's able to bounce back. And so a lot of you know, these analysts are breaking it down that adversity he dealt with is going to help him go a long way.
Q, we already heard today, Courtney Cronin, ESPN Bears reporter, put out there that Jaden Daniels was asked, the quarterback from LSU, about what animal he most represents. And he said dead or alive, and then he said a lion, I believe, is what he answered. CC has said the league is trying to get teams away from these ridiculous questions. Are you getting that same sense, or are you starting to hear about some of these absurd questions these guys are getting?
No, these questions that are being thrown at these guys from absurd angles like that one you just talked about are from these TikTok guys that are walking around. So they're just trying to be the funny guy. Like, one guy just asked Caleb Williams if he's ever seen a baby pigeon. And, you know, just random questions. And, hey, what combine activity would you involve? And so Caleb said something about swimming because he's a swimmer. And then they went on, are birds real? And it's just, you know, we only get 10 to 15 minutes with these guys. And they're asking these kind of questions. But, again, it's just it's the TikTok world that we live in. I'm not that guy, but, you know, there's someone out there that is.
Q, one of the things that was talked about in the weeks leading up to the combine is different agencies, different players saying that they were out on the cognitive testing. Some of the more popular ones from the past, the Wunderlich, the S2 cognitive test last year, got a lot of buzz because of C.J. Stroud's test getting out there. I'm just curious from your perspective or from what you're hearing, how has that been received by NFL talent evaluators with prospects being out on the cognitive testing or the mental testing at the combine?
They're not worried about it. They really aren't. Everyone I've talked to a T has said, look, I could turn on the film and see exactly what these guys bring to the table. And it's so funny. This is the first year, CC, that I've heard people actually say that this is such a minor part of the process as far as the draft thing. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much more that goes into the draft process than what's going on here.
So, Q, I'm curious. I hate to cut you off, but I'm curious because you're saying that it's so minor, yet every single year we're hearing about players' cognitive test scores being leaked. Why is
that? Exactly. Because teams want that player to fall. Right, and I think that was the case of C.J. Stroud. I mean, I'll be 100% honest. I think last year when that came out, teams wanted him to fall because they were starting to pick up at the last second how good he really was. So I think that that's the reason why, and that's what he told me in Kansas City last year. He said, look, there's a reason why it came out. I'm a football player. I'm not worried about being a test taker. And, you know, that's why they really pushed back on that S2 this year is because, well, you know, it wasn't that serious. It's again, it's a small part of the process. You know, even when we talk about guys climbing up or dropping down the draft board, they're not really doing that. We're just picking up on who they actually are at the time.
Well, Q, you just put a thought in my head, and I'm not making this accusation. No, no. I mean, I'm not going to, like, eat shrimp with a fork like you do. But,
Stop judging me, man.
So, like, I'm not suggesting the Houston Texans put that out there last year at all in any way, shape, or form. But what you're saying is the Houston Texans every day should be thankful that was out there last year.
Facts. Absolutely. Yeah, and they didn't even want C.J. Stroud. They wanted Bryce Young, right? And, I mean, that's the thing, and that's what I've been hearing here all week long as well. Every team still believes that Bryce Young was that guy, right? They probably would have go back and do it again and still select Bryce Young because he was the sure shot quarterback a year ago. C.J. Stroud just happened to, you know, go out there and lead Houston to a division championship, get him into the playoffs, and had a really good situation there with D'Amico Ryan. So, yeah, man, it's the Houston Texans are very lucky that Lovie Smith won that game and then ended up getting fired. They got mad at him. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. They were very lucky that they got C.J. Stroud.
Today we got the defensive backs and the tight ends on the field for workouts. Who are you looking forward to seeing on the field? Who are people excited about in NDC in the workout today?
Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold. I mean, those are the two right there that I'm really excited about. Quinyon, of course, comes from Toledo. He said he went to the Senior Bowl to prove that he could run with the big dogs. His words, not mine. And he said that he went to Toledo because he didn't do very well in school, in high school, so he had to take – get football taken away from him, and he realized how much he appreciated the game of football while it was away. And he said he stuck by Toledo because they stuck by him. So he's a very loyal dude. He said, I'm coming out here to dominate. That, his words, again, not mine, dominate the combine. And then Terrion Arnold is just a fantastic guy. He's talking about a gold jacket already. That's the plan he has in mind. He said that he got benched after a game. He wasn't playing very well. He writes it down every single day that I got benched. I will never get benched again. So it's just kind of the motivation that he has to go out there and be that guy.
Check out Q Myers tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN Radio, of course, at your boy Q254 on Twitter, where you can see the shimmy after the spicy cocktail sauce.
That's right.
He does the little Q shimmy after the spicy cocktail sauce. He's in Indy for the combine. Q, thanks so much for the time. We do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Shrimp cocktail for everybody.
Thank you, Q. He does the shimmy, CeCe. He does the shimmy. He eats the spicy shrimp cocktail, and he doesn't realize that the spice actually comes a little bit later.
It's got a late kick.
Late kick. Coming up, Canty's best bet, which will be very interesting because normally he does it with Jovante. A lot of beef with you two today, plus our unsportsmanlike moments. Next, we're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. We're chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
So last night, we decided to do that hockey, and we did that hockey, and we won in the parlay. We took the Toronto Maple Leafs on the money line over the Coyotes. That checked out, and then we took the under on total goals scored, which is at 6.5, and it was 6 goals scored. So, again, another successful parlay that paid out at plus 172. We've got 3 plays of the night in a row. So we've got an official win streak when it comes to the play of the night. So a lot of pressure on tonight's pick. But we're going to go back to the association tonight. And in staying with the beef that I now have with Javonte Lawrence, we're going to go with the Cavs laying 5.5 points on the road against the Detroit Pistons. Now, I teased it down to 5.5 because I think it was something insane, like 12.5. But I teased it down to 5.5 points for the Cavs on the road. And we're going to take the over because we're buying back some points. So the over, I moved it to 216.5. So 216.5 points. So over 216.5 points and the Cavs winning by 6 or more. And that parlay pays out at plus 129.
And that is just specifically because Javonte Lawrence a Pistons fan.
We got beat.
And you want his team to suffer.
Yeah, exactly. And I want us to be successful at his expense.
All right. The beef then continues.
Yeah.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right. Every day at this time, we give you some weird, different, quirky kind of moments. Let's start with the GOAT, Tom Brady. Remember you brought up his combine the other day, some of the most memorable moments in combine history?
Yeah, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Would it have been memorable with the photo if he didn't turn into Tom Brady?
No, of course not.
It wouldn't.
Of course.
Exactly. No. Him running the 40 and all that stuff, it's because he became the GOAT.
Yes, but it also, because he became the GOAT, and it is memorable as a result, He wanted to rerun the 40.
Yeah.
And he beat his old time.
I could see that.
At 46 years old, we have the video on ESPNU. Noble is the company that he put it out there, his brand now that he works with. And the NFL put it out there. They matched up Brady's 40 time from over 20 years ago, and he's faster today at 46 years old than he was then at 22 years old.
Well, better start, better form, and that led to him being marginally better.
Still pretty impressive.
I guess it's impressive, 46 years old, but I mean, it's a low bar to clear. He ran a 5.28 40.
Yeah.
That's not fast. That's not blazing.
No.
It's like Javonte pace.
Wow. Now Pat's going on him.
Probably about right.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah.
about right. Javonte Lawrence.
Javonte, do you think you're faster than Brady?
5.25 3.40.
Do you think yes, without a doubt.
Okay. You think you're a better quarterback?
Yes, without a doubt.
Okay, just making sure. Both Michigan men, to be fair. All right, so Brady.
One actually played at Michigan.
Well, they both went to Michigan, I guess. Yeah.
Javonte played in Michigan.
Yeah, that's true. Tom Brady, the GOAT, of course. The man who replaces him at Cam Newton for a year. But people normally think that Mac Jones was the guy that replaced Tom Brady, right? Yeah. How do you think Mac Jones has done as a quarterback?
Not good.
Not good. So would you advise him to do what we're going to show on ESPNU right now, and I'm going to explain? Mac Jones has been practicing, which is what you want. He's been practicing no-look passes.
Why?
I guess looking enough, not where it doesn't work.
He has enough trouble when he's looking at where he's throwing. We're supposed to believe that he's going to be good not looking where he's throwing?
Maybe he realized, when I look, it doesn't work. Maybe if I don't look, it could work.
But if you're Mac Jones, why would you even put this out there, right?
Somebody
like,
did.
Like, it'd be one thing if you've had a lot of success. Like if Patrick Mahomes is doing this messing around, or Lamar Jackson after winning his second MVP, okay, it's cool. Even Joe Burrow, who got his team to a Super Bowl, fine. You got enough problems playing quarterback, bro. Like even when you're looking at where you're throwing the football, you struggle. Sometimes you probably shouldn't be looking at where you're throwing the football because you're throwing to the wrong team.
That's right.
Why are you putting this out there for public consumption?
Idea. Is this like Ben Simmons practicing logo threes?
Yeah, this could only make you look like a jerk. Why would you do that?
Especially when it wasn't even that much of like a no-look pass.
It was like a look away.
The guy he threw it to was like directly in front of him, basically. Like, it wasn't impressive at all, even in practice.
Yeah, not ideal. Yeah. Now, the last one is definitely the most unsportsmanlike and best moment. So last night, the NBA games were on TNT. And inside the NBA, we know is amazing. Ernie Johnson, who's all-time great.
Yeah.
You want to look up to someone in life, look up to Ernie Johnson on and off the air, is as classy and wonderful a human being as you're ever going to find. Shaq, Barkley, and Kenny. And forever, as you know, CeCe, Charles Barkley's been anti-social media. Doesn't have it, doesn't want it, suggests for people not to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they discovered last night that Charles Barkley has an Instagram account now.
What?
And it was a big deal that Barkley has an Instagram. And it's not a private one. It's a public one.
Instagram account.
Yes. Wow, Ernie actually wasn't on last night. Excuse me. Adam Lefko was on, who's phenomenal as well. And Lefko was saying to Chuck some of the like rules and regulations. Like,
all right.
Hey, when you like something, everyone could see it. So make sure if you're liking things, it's stuff that you want everyone to see. They asked him about sliding in DMs, if he understood about sliding in the DM. Okay, which he actually understood. He understood it in essence as a private text message, right? For those who may not understand what sliding in the DMs means. Well,
it means more than that, but we'll leave it at that.
Right. Well, for now, just wait. So Shaq decided to give Barkley a piece of advice when it came to his Instagram account that Barkley did not understand.
And every time you send out a picture of you, you got a hashtag OnlyFans.
No, listen.
Do you know what OnlyFans is?
Whatever picture you send out, just hashtag OnlyFans.
No, listen to him.
For OnlyFans of mine?
No, listen to him. Do not listen to this dude. No, OnlyFans is I'm not even explaining this.
That is hilarious.
For OnlyFans of mine. That
is great. How good is that?
Oh, my God.
OnlyFans.
Now,
that is awesome.
This is where... This is where I shoot myself in the foot.
I wish they didn't laugh. I wish they let that old thing play out.
So, CeCe, it's my job to provide like context on things we don't have context on. I was the one who brought this up. Nuno said, yes, let's play this. Not everyone knows what OnlyFans is. Javonte, explain. You've been on the air a lot today.
I see that.
Well, here it is. OnlyFans is where people will look at you to do whatever you do best. It could be working out. It could be running, for example. Cooking, you could be practicing for track events. You could be cooking. One of those things.
Oh, my God. Shaq is telling Barkley to just put pictures of himself and hashtag it OnlyFans.
I wish they could just keep it together and let the bit play out where Chuck actually did that, where it was hashtag OnlyFans.
Oh, my God.
I wish we could have let that play out.
They have to do that, right?
No,
we have to check.
They can't do it now because he knows it.
He has to put it out there on his own.
No. You can't put that out there for fear of what he could get back. Again, it's a public page, not private. Could you imagine what he's going to get inundated with when he does the hashtag OnlyFans?
Man, stop. Wow. You know what? Give Javonte credit. He actually explained it extremely well.
Yeah.
He took the context away from me having to worry about that. Yes, it's people putting out videos at a subscription basis of what they may do best.
No, that's not what it is.
What? Okay, CeCe, what is it?
That's not what it is. Well, what it is something that we can't talk about family show. That's what it is. Exactly.
So, Canty, for the last few seconds, make fun of Javonte some more.
Why do I want to do that?
You spent the whole last 9 o'clock.
He does that enough in and of himself. I don't have to add to it. He calls himself a track guy, and he brags about running the 800 and the 1600.
I never bragged.
You're not a track guy. I was just the best track athlete in the world. You're not a football guy, Javonte. Stop it.
I definitely didn't say I was a football guy.
Somebody that runs a 100 or a 200. That is a track guy.
I think if you ask your high school coaches, Javonte did, can I run the Wildcat, you're bragging a little bit. You're saying you're really fast.
No, I was saying we're bad. Let's try something different.
Greeny but coming up, up next.
And that's why we won't.
We're on to Monday. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Canty, and Michelle.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.